Expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guest do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View.
You are about to enter a world that's not new. A world that will inspire you with pondering to do. A world known only as the Paranormal View.
Time now for the Paranormal View.
The Paranormal View from the Para-X Radio Network. The Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. Chat room is very filled up and we appreciate that. And the listeners from around the world, we appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time to be here with us tonight. If you are listening from somewhere else, feel free to come over to the chat room, para-x.com, and click on the live chat, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. You'll be able to interact with us. And
that's all, folks.
And
El Blanche
of our guest. And we got a lot of stuff going to be going on here, and great show tonight. We got a lot coming up. Couple of new things that's going to be happening. We, in a sense, we're not losing somebody, but somebody is not going to be close to us anymore. And she is going to be traveling somewhere else, and we'll let her talk about that a little bit later. But tonight we have with us Cat Cloco.
I swear I'm not dying.
I know that.
Yeah, really.
Oh, we have Barbara Duncan.
No, I ain't going anywhere except maybe alien abduction.
Abduction, huh? And we got Jeffrey Gould with us.
Hello, hello. He had to look at his notes.
We call you Hey You.
I can't remember anything tonight. My brain has been on freeze.
I can see him just pointing at his screen. He's like, Hey You.
Yeah. I know. So
you there. Quick, say your name.
Tonight, before we get started, I know a couple people was wanting to know a few things. And our drinking word for tonight, for those who like to drink to words, our drinking word is spirit or spirits. So
is that just being ironic then?
Well, in case somebody
has spirits or drinking spirits.
Right. Okay. So with that, happy drinking's all I can say. I got mine here. Anyway. Yes,
I do too.
We want you to also have your headphones ready. We're going to be playing some things a little bit later. What do you call them things?
Recordings?
EVPs. There we go.
Oh, wow, Henry.
I told you it's totally blank today.
Do we need to write little post-it notes and stick it onto your computer monitor?
I've got post-it notes all over.
Okay. Now.
Oh,
no.
That's not helping one bit.
Oh, no.
Just for everybody, I'd like to let you know that we are now also on YouTube. I've got two shows up. It just takes a while to edit out a lot of the stuff and then convert it, because I have to convert it to a movie file in order to put it on YouTube. So it takes me a while. So I'm not going to get those put up real quick. Anyway, with that, we got a great guest lined up tonight, and I'm going to let Jeffrey introduce her.
Yes, tonight our guest is Lynn Bell, who's a medium investigator with TriOps Paranormal in the Butler County region. She's been a guest on our show before, and she's always been intrigued by the paranormal and began investigating as a way to understand her own gifts. She enjoys using her abilities to help others and plans to continue learning all she can about what might lie beyond. So welcome back, Lynn Bell.
Oh,
that means you.
Lynn, are you here?
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Did she fall off the Skype?
I think she did.
She did.
She's been abducted.
No.
So
I knew something was going to happen.
Why don't I take this opportunity to explain what's happening?
Go ahead while I get back.
Yeah, with the I don't want to say reshuffling of the show or anything.
You'll hear singing.
Yeah. So I am moving to Providence, Rhode Island at the end of June. So Henry will no longer have his road trip buddy from Ohio, but I will be available for events shortly. And I'm actually going to attend as an attendee. I won't have a table. Ocean State Paranormal Conference in July. And I know John Zaffis is a guest. I'm actually going to go see my friend Rosalind Bone, who we've had on the show. So I'll look up the information and give it out a little bit later in the show. So if anybody is in Rhode Island or Connecticut or Massachusetts and wants to hang out, you know where to find me.
All right. Lynn, want to welcome you back.
Yeah, phones are wonderful things. They're very unpredictable.
Yes, and that happens from time to time. So, well, we seen after we introduced you, I said, well, where'd she go to?
Little known fact about me, I'm also a magician and have been known to disappear.
You've been spirited away. And everybody take a drink.
Yep. Oh, spirits, yes. Everybody's drinking on spirits. So we do want to thank you for taking time to be with us tonight. Jeff gave you a good introduction and said...
it was great!
We said, welcome, and said, oh, where'd she go?
Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. It's a pleasure to do the show.
Well, now, I guess I need to find out a little bit about you first. When did you... know that you had some kind of an ability to see the dead?
Ever since I can remember, I didn't really understand it as a child, but I've always seemed to have like paranormal things happen to me. I didn't even realize that they were dead people or spirits back then when I was a child. I just knew that I could see people and creatures that other people apparently couldn't see, and I couldn't understand why. Most of my teachers thought I had a very vivid imagination, and it just continued on throughout my whole entire life. From different houses that we would be in, different things would happen. I remember one time we lived in a house, and I was probably about 9 years old, and there was this shadow that would, I called it the swoop. And I remember even as a little girl, I felt that it was Native American. And this shadow, the reason I called it was the swoop was because it would not walk. Its legs were off of the floor. And it would float very fast throughout our house. And it used to terrify me because I also got like an angry kind of feeling coming from it. And never that I felt like it was going to hurt me in any way, but it just was very, very scary. Looking back, it was probably the spirit of a deceased Native American person, and probably angry because of what happened to them in life, and probably a little bit angry at me because I thought it was a he. He probably knew that I could see and be able to communicate with him, yet I refused. And it just continued on throughout my life, and I never did understand why. I just figured I was going to be somebody who was plagued by paranormal occurrences more than people. It wasn't until around 2010, after a relative period of about 5 years of pretty much quiet, that things started kicking up again, and I realized that I wanted to know answers why. Why was this happening to me? Why was I chosen to be able to see these spirits? And I found some of the paranormal TV shows like Ghost Hunters and Paranormal State. And I figured, well, there must be enough interest paranormal for people to be watching shows like this. So I started watching them too, and I learned some of their investigating techniques. And I thought, well, let me see if I have a very active imagination, or could these spirits possibly be real? So I started doing my own EVPs, and I tried to get pictures, and a lot of the things confirmed what I was seeing and what I was feeling. And so it was that point that I kind of started thinking, there is something to this. So I started researching more.
Now, Lynn, I have a question for you. How do you differentiate between a residual energy and a cognizant one? Is there a change in the atmosphere? Is it a sense of a presence? How does it differ?
Well, there's definitely, with the ones that can communicate with me, there's definitely that feeling. Like, sometimes if I'm not aware of them, if I'm kind of shut down psychically, sometimes I'll get a little dizzy spell that comes over me. It's almost like their way of saying, hey, I'm here and I would like to talk with you. The residual energies, I'm aware of them and I see them, but they don't try to interact with me in any way. It's just like I'm not even there.
I always wondered about that, because of residual energy that may be of a an emotional nature, whether or not
right.
You pick up that, and is it easy to tell that that's what it is rather than something trying to communicate with you?
Yeah, I can definitely tell a difference. I know one time when I was in my late teens, a family member was going to move into a house. And even though I didn't think of myself as a medium that far back, or anybody who has too much experience, she asked me if I felt anything in the house, because she knew in the past I had. And the only thing that I could get was that somebody had either received tragic news on the stairwell that led up to the second floor of her house, or had fallen down the stairs and drastically suffered a traumatic injury that probably left them paralyzed. And I didn't really know what it was, but I knew something terrible and devastating had happened on that staircase. And she said throughout the years, they would hear like the thud of somebody falling down the stairs.
Wow. That's interesting.
And a lot of times it scared them, because they had a young granddaughter who would stay with them sometime. Mm-hmm. And every time that would happen, that she was there, they would automatically assume that it was her. And they would, of course, race out of bed and there would be nothing.
Oh, wow.
Well, now, have you lived, are you from Hamilton, or did you move here from somewhere else?
I was originally from Middletown, and I lived there from the time I was born until 1998 when I moved to Hamilton.
Hmm.
And how did you get involved with the TriOps group here in Ohio?
Well, when things started making sense, and I started getting EVPs, and I started getting photographic evidence of what I was experiencing was true, I began looking locally for other people to either confirm or deny my experiences. And one of the things that my mom actually saw was the Ryan's Tavern ghost tour. And it said, ghost tour with proof of paranormal experiences. And I said, oh, wow, I want to do that. Because it was a true group there. And it's like, oh, this is wonderful. This is something that I want to experience. And so I did, and it was really a good experience. And then I came back for other tours, too. And I eventually got to know the members of TriOps, and eventually they asked me to be a part of the team, which I was extremely happy to accept, because by then I was starting to get a good idea that there is other beings out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to learn more about it.
Well, I often wonder, because it's one of those things, especially with like tarot and mediums, you constantly want to try to test yourself to see if, or validate what it is that you think you're seeing.
Right.
How far back did you try to validate? Did you do so with like photographs and EVPs on your own? Did you try to do any research into what you were seeing as far as newspaper reports, et cetera?
No, I never tried to do the newspaper reports because most of the time I only got like a first name of a spirit, if I got that. But yes, definitely. Again, starting around 2010 is when I started conducting my own EVPs. And I remember at the time I was being visited by the spirit of a woman, and I would be able to hear her audibly, not just psychically, but audibly. And I wanted to know if she was truly there. Was I truly hearing this? And so my very first EVP session, I asked, "Are you the woman that I hear?" And I definitely got her replying yes. So that was cool.
Okay, and to bring up a really controversial subject, what's your opinion of Ouija boards, and have you used them?
I have never used a Ouija board, and from what I hear, they're not really the way to get in contact with a spirit, because you never know what kind of spirit that you're going to get. I do use divining rods, which to me are a lot different, because it's not like the spirit is moving through you and controlling you. It's more like they are moving the rod. But no, I've been on investigations where people have used Ouija boards and they've gotten more than they wanted. So no, I've never used one.
Yeah. Now the divining rods are good for, I guess, yes or no answers, or directional work if they want you to go to a specific type of an area of a house or a location.
Right.
What
we do in the group tryops, of course, tryops really ask that none of the mediums use the rods themselves. So I use them personally when I do my own work. But we ask the spirits to cross the rods if the answer is yes, part the rods if the answer is no, and then, of course, like you're right, directional, we could say point to where you're standing or point to another spirit in the room, and they can do that. I've also seen some spirits who actually try to communicate a name through the divining rods. Like they'll do move the rods a certain way, and that would tell me who they are.
Oh, sort of like move them for A, B, C, D?
Well, not so much that. Like one spirit that I talked to, he will swing the rods around to the right and then cross them and then part them. And that's how, well, obviously I can see him and talk to him, but that's how, by using the rods, I know I'm communicating with him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because you want to make sure you're connecting to the right kind of spirit.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
It's kind of like dial-up.
It almost sounds, yeah, and you're saying, you know, you go, you know, divining rods to the left and then to the right. It's like square dancing.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting how they work, and it's fun to watch other people use them too, because, you know, some people don't really know what to expect when they use them, and when they start moving in response to their questions, they're like, "I'm not doing this," and it's always kind of neat to say, "No, I know you're not," you know. So they've provided a lot of good evidence and a lot of good experiences for our team.
What's really interesting, just as a personal story here, experience, is I have a pair of dowsing rods. I can't use them. They do nothing with me. They just sit there. And they're like, yeah, we're not moving. But if I give them to Henry, those things start twirling around and communicating and becoming little chatty Cathys.
Right. Right. They work better for some people than others. I've seen in the tours that we've done with tryops, some people have very little problem using them, and others, it takes a while to be able to get a response from the spirit. Even though you could see them trying to move, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
I guess it's just kind of depends on the person's energy and how open they are to spirit communication.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't really prove that for sure, but that seems to be the case.
Yeah, I went to a palmist once who told me that there's such a thing as a dowser's thumb. There is a type of whorl that's on the thumb of your dowsing hand. Some people have two, and he told me that I had both of my hands are dowsers, and that using rods probably wouldn't work for me because they try to combat each other, but pendulums would work.
Come on.
So it's kind of an interesting approach to dowsing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, pendulums.
Yeah, pendulums work with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She can hold a pendulum and it'll be going around in circles, and she'll ask another question. He'll just stop and
stop
going back and forth.
Yeah, just stops in midair and just will switch direction. Yep. And I do my hardest to make sure that I'm not in any way trying to sway the pendulum. So, yeah, usually I hold it on like a, oh man, I have basically a keychain that's flat. And I hook it onto the pendulum chain, so I'm just holding the the flat end, and let the pendulum dangle, so I can't do those micro wrist movements that some people think happen.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, I've actually never tried to use a pendulum before, but that would be interesting. I'd be willing to try that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you may have to try both hands to see if one works better than the other. It's possible.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
So actually I have a question for you, Lynn, that I get a lot from the chat room with people who are wanting to improve their psychic or medium abilities, which is how did you learn techniques to become more mediumistic? Like, was it a bunch of trial and error? Did you just run into somebody? Do you have a spirit guide who helps you? Any insight?
Basically, once I started accepting what mm-hmm. I could do, which was made possible through the members of Triops,
mm-hmm.
who actually, I was even skeptical to tell them that I saw and seen, and they were actually the ones who came to me and said, can you actually see and hear them? And I was reluctant. I was like, yeah. So they were the ones to really first say, hey, it's okay. You know, we believe you. It's not that we think that you are overactive imagination. And so once I started accepting the fact that I do have the ability to see and speak to spirits,
mm-hmm.
is when I kind of, I guess it was more of, the more I open I became, the more I was able to do.
Okay.
So I guess the advice I would give to people who would like to improve their psychic ability is just believe that you can. I believe that everybody has a certain amount of psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to be open to it, and you have to let it come naturally. You can't over want it either, because in some ways I believe that puts up a wall that shuts down your ability to see things too. Because I know when I was improving, sometimes I would see a spirit and I'd be like, oh, there she is, and then sudden, just that quick, she would be gone. I'm like, well, I guess I blew that one. But I would just tell them to be open,
mm-hmm.
be aware that there are spirits around them. Kind mm-hmm. of listen to the feeling that they get in their gut. If something seems unusual, that could be a sign. Like maybe they get like a dizzy feeling come over them. That's what happens to me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they just feel cold in the room, or like the room has a certain odd energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. Stop and be still and listen, and maybe even say, if you want to try to talk to me, I'm willing to try to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very possible that they could pick up on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even you, Henry.
Even me what?
You can pick up on spirit.
Not to my knowledge. If I do, it's by luck.
No, if you sit and you follow Lynn's advice, you may be also able to pick up on spirit.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I wouldn't hold my breath, though.
Well, some people, like I say, you have to believe that you can. Not everybody is going to be as strong as somebody who's had it and used it. Well, not, I didn't use mine all my life, but I've had the ability all my life. But I believe through practice, everybody can develop a certain amount of psychic ability.
Yeah.
Now,
I remember reading Ghost Hunter's book where Jason said that he started being able to at least sense them after Reiki attunement.
I read that book also. Yeah, that was interesting too. And I guess the reason that is because it's the quiet meditation that's involved in Reiki. And just the being open to the different energies of your body. And through that, then you're able to see other things and experience other things.
Well, that it tends to push energy. So if you had any sort of barriers to it, pushes it right out.
Right.
Now, I just want to take time to remind everybody, if you do have questions for Lynn, you can private chat them to either Ceiling Cat, Cat Paraview, Jeffrey Gould, or myself, and we will get those questions right over to her. And if you're listening from somewhere other than in the chat room, you can still ask questions. You can send us an email to theparanormalview@gmail.com and put attention question. And we will get that question right over to her. So do that. And we got somewhere else if you want to do it a different way. Where's that?
Yeah. You can tweet them over to me on Twitter at Paraview Radio. I am monitoring both our Twitter and our Gmail account. So if you shoot any questions over, you'll be speaking to me. Woo!
Very good.
Yep.
So you said that you can see spirits and talk with them, communicate with them. Can you just be out anywhere and maybe a spirit comes up to you because they know that you can see or hear them and start trying to talk to you? Or maybe like you were saying before, if they see you and know that you can see them, do they run and hide somewhere?
I've had both happen. I've had times when I wasn't even in a place where I was doing any kind of investigation, just in an everyday life situation. And all of a sudden it's just like, hi. And I'm like, whoa, where did you come from? You know, oh, I'm with so-and-so over there. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's very nice to meet you. but so that's happened before. And then I know one time I was doing an investigation with Triop, and I went down into the basement, and the very first thing when I went down there, I saw the spirit of this man, and he saw me, and he was like, oh my, and he like immediately disappeared. And later on, he did come back to talk to me, but he said he was just so shocked that somebody was finally able to see him that it scared him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just stepped out of the shower and you surprised me.
Some of the places that you've got to go to with Triops, and I know there's some you can't talk about because they're personal or private places, but what place, I guess, has had the most activity?
I would say probably there has to be Ryan's Tavern in Hamilton. It's one of my favorite places to go every year. I always look forward to doing the tours and any kind of investigation that we do there, because there's always a lot of really cool spirit activity going on. And it sounds odd for some people maybe, but I've made friends with a lot of the spirits there in Ryan's Tavern too. So it's kind of, not only do I get to see my human living friends, but I also get to see my spirit friends from that hang out there at Ryan's. But it's not always, Ryan's isn't always been a place of the happy, warm, and fuzzy spirits. I have probably the worst negative experience as a medium that happened to me there, too, last year. I was in the 1921 room with one of our other investigators, and we were doing a tour, and they were asking this one spirit how she passed. And we were getting, like, rods and everything that would indicate that she was killed by a member of, like, the mob or the gangsters back then in the 1920s. And all of a sudden, it was like I was taken to a different place, like I was no longer standing in that room, but I was actually in a different room. And I saw and I felt and I smelled everything that was in that room. And I was just kind of dazed by it. And I turned around and I saw the body of a little boy with his throat slit laying on the bed.
And, man.
It was horrible. And I just immediately screamed, "Oh, dear God, please no." And then just that quickly, I was back into the 1921 room again. But it totally, totally freaked me out. And it just totally drained me energy-wise. It was something that I never wanted to see again.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah.
But it was the oddest thing, because it wasn't like it was just a vision of a spirit or a spirit trying to communicate with me. It was actually like I was taken back to their actual murder scene. Mm-hmm. And I've never had anything like that happen before, and I've never had, thankfully, anything happen like that since. But it was quite traumatic, and hopefully it wasn't done maliciously. I'm just hoping that it was just somebody who wanted me to know their story, you know, rather than an attack on me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still very, it was horrible. It was something that still sticks with me very vividly.
It's like they decided, hey, this is totally appropriate to show you how I died. In reality, no, it wasn't appropriate, but they still show it to you. Yeah.
Right.
That happened to me at Devil's Den, as I was explaining on last week's episode. It's just seeing all the different bodies, and the one image in my head that just sprang up was this blonde man, young guy, early 20s, blue eyes, sandy blonde hair, and he's just staring at me with those glassy dead eyes from one of the cracks in Devil's Den. And I'm like, and I could smell the decomposition around me. And it was just like, okay, I now understand this is how you died, but please, I do not need to see this image anymore. I understand we can continue on. And eventually, I just had to walk away, and the things disappeared. But yeah, it's chilling. It's very chilling.
It's very chilling. And like I say, I was really drained for about a week. I didn't really care if I saw anything or not. I was just like, I'm done. I'm done right now. But, you know, we have to take good with bad in anything in life, I guess. So thankfully, most of my experiences, even though they haven't all been positive, they haven't been that negative either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like most of them just want their story told.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of why I was asking whether or not it's different walking into a residual field as opposed to something that's really concentrating its effort trying to get you to understand it. If there's that much of a difference in, well, I guess the intensity would be a lot stronger. But residuals can also hold that same feeling, I guess, if you're that empathetic.
Yeah, there's definitely the feeling that with the residual hauntings. Like, I knew whatever happened on my relative's stairs was a life-changing traumatic event. Mm-hmm. I knew there wasn't an actual spirit there who was communicating that information to me that could actually say, hi, this is what happened. But it was still nonetheless very intense and very real.
Well, I think we're going to take a break here in just a second. I do want to remind you that our mics will be live, so you can either just mute your phone or just not say anything. Breaks are around 5 to 7 minutes.
So you want me to take us out, Henry?
Yeah, in just a second. I totally forgot what I was going to say. I had to
call.
Yeah, I know it's been that way. So, but anyway, if you do have questions for Lynn, private chat them to either Ceiling Cat, Cat Purview, Jeffrey Gould, or myself, and we will get those right over to her. Mm-hmm. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more.
Yes. So, everyone, you are listening to The Paranormal View with your hosts, Henry Foyster, Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Kat Cloco. Tonight, we welcome medium Lynn Bell. She's sharing her stories and experiences with us tonight, and there are more to come after the break.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio and the all-new Para-X Vision can help. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio and Para-X Vision, programming for the open mind.
You know, there's nothing like a great memory of a great time. And if you grew up during the 1950s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, boy, have we got the memories for you. There was no time more innocent than the 1950s or 60s, nor was there a time more politically explosive. Hi, this is Steve Shockley, a.k.a. The Shock. Join me live every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for a Baby Boomer Rock with a Shock Sock Hop on rockwithashockradio.com.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
Ghost Hunters Case Log 451. The time? Thursday, 8 p.m. Okay, we're going to start an EVP session. Is there anyone out there? Can you repeat that? I really need you to try to project louder and slower so we can all hear.
The Black Cat Lounge.
That's right, gang. Listen in. The Black Cat Lounge every Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Para X.
Hi, this is Hollywood Hunt writer Marla Brooks, and you're listening to the Para X Radio Network.
I found it at last! Marla's sacred cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics, a 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions. Big, juicy, deep questions about life and death and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
Para-X Radio presents Real Persons of Genius.
Real Persons of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X show host.
Armed with nothing more than a laptop and a microphone, you hit the air to scare the bejesus out of your audience.
What the hell was that noise?
Like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant, you always whet our appetite for more.
I just can't get enough.
Whether it's witches, ghosts, fairies, or Bigfoot, we admire your ability to set aside reality and believe anything anyone tells you.
Seek professional help.
So the next time you're kneeling in front of your 8x10 glossy of Dave and Tom lighting a candle, remember, if it wasn't for you, I might be able to sleep without the lights on.
Mr. and Mrs. Para-X Soho.
Para-X Radio Network, powered by CBS.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We want to thank everybody for joining us this evening in chat and online and all around the world. And tonight we have listeners in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, France, Puerto Rico, Unknown, and Japan. Welcome,
oh, wow.
Welcome everyone.
Wow.
Unknown is back.
Unknown is back.
Bigfoot has returned.
And we wonder where it's at. Want to welcome back Lynn.
He's with Lynn.
Yeah. Are you with us?
Oh. I'm here.
I thought maybe you fell back off again.
No. Still here.
I remember what it was I was going to say before break. I wanted to let you know that from time to time, just to let you know, that spirits do drop by here on the show.
Ooh, okay.
We've had them where all of a sudden somebody just hollers out Joe, and we have no idea who that was. But we get all kinds of different little something being said in the background or something like that. It's not any of us. So from time to time that happens. So just in case, we'll let you know ahead of time. You can be looking.
I'll be on the lookout for it.
Well, we can't let her know ahead of time because that would mean that we're psychic, but we can tell her after. Yeah.
Right.
Are you psychic, Henry?
Not
Is there
me.
Something you haven't shared with us?
No, there's nothing with me. I'm basically all I am is an EVP magnet.
Yeah, that is kind of true. The spirits, haha, everyone, really do like to chat with you, and you have no clue that they're chatting with you, Henry.
Not until you go back and.
Yeah. Not until.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I find it, man.
I keep waiting for the EVP to Henry just saying, "What's wrong with you?
Yeah,
why can't you see us? Yeah. Everyone else sees us."
Yeah. Well, a good rule of thumb is when you're investigating with Henry, you just do short burst EVP sessions, and you'll usually find something trying to talk to him or meow at him.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
And we do know that Kat and I have been to Ryan's Tavern quite a few times. And usually whenever you have the big event there. We go there and we broadcast our show from there.
Yep.
There was one night after the show, we went up to the third floor.
Yes.
And we was out asking questions on the third floor, and we started to go back toward the elevator. Mm-hmm. And we stopped. And there's a gap under the elevator, maybe an inch or so, where you can see the light from inside the elevator.
Right.
And we sat there and watched something walk back and forth in the elevator from the shadow.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And the door opened up, and there wasn't nobody there.
whichever spirit, and I've never really encountered a spirit in the elevator, but I know I've heard stories where the employees of Ryan's will have their arms full, and they'll be like, how are we going to get this, mm-hmm. you know, through the elevator, and the elevator door would just open for no apparent reason at all.
Yep.
It's that same spirit has jokingly taken people on rides in the elevator and not let them off at the floor that they want to get off at, and it's just taking them from floor to floor.
Yeah, there's three floors plus a basement there, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting place. They've done a lot to redo the place, and it looks magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the third floor is still unfinished, but they're soon as they get the funds, I'm sure that they will be doing that. When is the big event supposed to be this year?
From what I understand, there are two tours, and I believe it's the last week in October. And then the following week. So that would be the first week in November.
Okay.
And then there's also the Witch's Ball, mm-hmm. which is right around the same time. And I'm trying to get all the dates straight. I just heard these things today, and they've already left my mind.
it's catching, isn't it?
Oh, it's contagious. This isn't good.
It is. And she's like, but I know there's two definite tour dates plus the Witch's Ball that we do. The tours are actually like mini investigations, so you can actually experience kind of like what we go on for other investigations, and they're great because you get to use our equipment, you get to talk with the other members of the team, you could bring in your own equipment, you could take pictures, you could ask questions. There's a great presentation before the ghost tour gets underway. So anybody who's interested in the paranormal, I highly recommend those tours. The Witch's Ball is a charity event, so it's for the
it's food bank.
I'm absolutely going brain squishy right now. It's a charity, and it's for a great cause. I want to say it's like the clothing closet.
It's that, and it's not for the food bank though, is it?
No. Okay. But it's. We do many investigations of the third floor and the basement there. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of women. It's a women's only event and a lot of really great creative costumes. Last year it was the Wizard of Oz theme, and you saw witches and Dorothy and a couple of people who had costumes of a house with the feet sticking underneath it. So it's a great time for a good cause. We also do, for people who are around Fairfield, Ohio, we do tours of the Elijah Morgan Mansion. Mm-hmm. And I think this year we're going to do the Dayton Lane Ghost Walk.
Yeah, they didn't have that last year. I think they do it every other year. And I'm supposed to, or the last time we did it, they told me that we'd be able to do our show live again from the location of, I guess, one of the guest houses, the last house on the tour. They have a furnished hot chocolate and all that. And from what I understand, we're supposed to be able to do it at the guest house, I guess it is.
Right.
So, but that was 2 years ago, so I'll have to get up with Triops and check all that out. We had a good time when we did it a couple years ago. I thought it was pretty interesting. A lot of people went. We was kind of in the back, so we didn't get to actually talk to the people that went on the Dayton Lane tour. But this year, I'm hoping that we'll be able to be out and talk with the people when they get done with the tour and come in, and we can talk with them.
You're going to exit interview everyone?
No, not everyone, but, you know, we get some good stories. I mean...
Rating from 1 to 5, how did you enjoy your ghostly experiences tonight? Would you recommend this to a friend? Yeah.
What other things does TRIOPS have lined up investigating-wise?
Well, the tours are our biggest thing. We also do private residence. Anybody who thinks they have something paranormal going on in their house, they could go to our website, which is www.triopsparanormal.com, and they could fill out a form, and somebody will be back in contact with them and seek information. And then if they feel the next needed, they will send somebody to the house and gather evidence and talk to the people, and then we schedule the investigation after that. And we never charge for our investigations. They're always free because we really, truly care about helping people and helping them understand their situation better and understand the paranormal better. So we love what we do, and it's a diverse group of people, but they're people that you can trust.
Yeah.
We really, truly do care about we care about our clients very much. So if you have anything that you need investigated, just go to our website and fill out that form, and somebody will be in contact to help you out, that's for sure. I think this year we also, sometime in September, are going to the Loveland Castle. At least that's what we're hoping.
Ooh.
I've been there a couple of times. I had the people one time on our show, but I didn't do the show from Loveland Castle.
Yeah, the Knights of the Golden Trail.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really fun place. I've had a ghost experience there.
Yeah, I've been there once. It was just kind of a spur of the moment weekend thing. My son wanted to do something, and he's like, "What can we do, Mom?" I said, "I know, let's go to Loveland Castle and see if we can get anything paranormal." So we did, and I did actually pick up on an EVP, and then I did also pick up on the spirit of Sir Harry.
Yeah.
And I actually got a really cool picture because I at that time I really wasn't in tune like I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like I had walked through a cobweb or like static electricity, and I could feel his presence. And I even though he wasn't talking to me, I knew it was almost him. And I remember I told my mom, I said, "Mom, take a picture." And so she did with just our digital camera. And when I got home and looked at it, you could see the faint image of him standing behind me. So it's a real cool picture.
Wow. Yeah. The Loveland, for our listeners, the Loveland Castle is a hand-built, basically, it's a castle. It looks like a Norman castle, and it was created by Sir Harry, and I wish I could remember his last name, by hand in the late 1900s, after he did a tour in World War I in Europe, and he just was in love with the Norman castles in England. So he came back to Loveland, Ohio, and built his own castle. And he gave it to the Knights of the Golden Trail, which are kind of like a Boy Scout group. And you can rent the entire castle, and it's not the biggest thing in the world, but it's a pretty neat place. For weddings or any type of event you want, and I've actually rented it for a paranormal investigation in 2011, I think. So it's a really neat place to go. It's very active, and if you're very lucky, you can see the Loveland Frogman.
Oh, yes.
What? You mean like somebody scuba diving, or actually a frog humanoid?
It's our local cryptid here around Cincinnati. Aww. And yeah, we get the frog man, and he's known as the Loveland Frog.
Sort of like the is it like the little merman from Cabin in the Woods?
No, I've not seen Cabin in the Woods, so I don't know.
Oh, it's hilarious! It's not a horror film that would scare you, really. It's a parody of horror films.
What is he, Merman, Cabin in the Woods?
Okay. Cabin in the Woods is a Joss Whedon film, yeah. Which is a parody of why certain like groups. The name is Harry Delos Andrews.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
Yeah, I just Googled an image of the merman, and I guess it's actually kind of close, but just think of him as being more green with reptile eyes, and that'd be pretty close to what he's said to look like. And two police officers encountered him in the 1970s, and one retracted their report, but people are like, hey, you kind of already reported this, so...
Yeah, but I was told by my boss I never saw anything.
So. Yeah, basically. So, yeah, that, and he's not very big. I don't know how big the merman is in that movie. He's only like the size of a child.
Well, the merman is just it's a running gag in the film, and he's kind of it looks like probably a little person is in the costume.
Okay, so yeah, maybe the same size. Anyhow, but yeah, there's a Loveland Frogman.
Now,
and the sightings are around Loveland Castle.
Now, Triops, there's also an old farmstead that's up toward Oxford.
Right.
They were supposed to set something up to do that place, and I was supposed to go out there with them. I haven't heard back on them.
Was that the DeWitt log home?
The which one?
The DeWitt.
Yeah, I think that was that one. And there's another one somewhere up there, too.
The other one was the Doty Farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did both of those. Yeah, those were a good investigation.
Oh, did you experience anything there?
Yeah. The wit was the strongest one for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I first walked in, I kind of got an image from the past of men sitting around talking to each other, and I could tell that they were troubled, and mm-hmm. I could tell that they were planning something, and I felt like it had to do something with like a war, or it was something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, I was asked to touch a bonnet, and mm-hmm. I didn't know the story behind it, but even though it was in a frame through glass, when I touched it, I got awful images of a poor woman being put through the ringer. I mean, she underwent all sorts of horrible things. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness. Later on in that evening, I found out there was also a well on the property. And when I was near that well, I had the feeling of a child had fallen into that well. And I couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl, but I just felt the fear, and I heard like a child crying. Later on, I was told from another spirit who actually came to visit, so it really wasn't anyone who had lived in the DeWitt log cabin, but who knew the family and who knew the story. She actually was the one who told me what happened was the lady of the house, whose name was Elizabeth, was scalped by a Native American, and she survived, but that bonnet that I touched had belonged to her.
Oh, wow.
At the same time, her child was taken by the Native American and thrown into the well. And Mr. DeWitt, when he came, he heard her screaming, and he came, and he apparently put some kind of protectant, like a fat, over her skull to keep her alive. And he got the child out of the well. The child survived because apparently back then children wore those blossomy gowns.
Mm-hmm.
And the gown had blossomed out and kind of acted as like a little raft.
Oh, wow.
And kept the child from drowning. So he was able to save the child and his wife. And from that point on, she wore a bonnet because, of course, her hair never grew, even though she survived, never grew back.
Right.
But that was quite an investigation. It was really chilling for me and proof for me that, oh, wow, you know, this one I was able to pick up on. This was something that I did right. I don't always get my facts right, and sometimes it's part right, part wrong. Sometimes I totally miss the mark, but that one was one that I was pretty accurate on, so it was pretty neat to see that play out.
Yeah. Now, we actually have a question from our chat room for you, Lynn.
Okay.
It's from Sherry, and she asks if your son is also psychic.
When he was younger, he was. Mm-hmm. He used to tell me that he would see things, and I could see them too, and, but I didn't want to scare him so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, well, it's okay. You're safe, you know. Mm-hmm. As he's grown older, he doesn't seem to want to be able to see anymore. So he's kind of, in a way, closed himself off, which, you know, it's his decision. Yeah. And I can understand why in some ways he would want to do that.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will always have the ability, though, should he choose to go back to it.
Yeah.
But yes, I can definitely see he's 11 years old, and I can see where it would scare him. Because, you know, he's like, I know we were in a house one time, and I was picking up on the spirit of a Civil War soldier who owned the home, because it was the home was built just right after the Civil War ended.
Mm-hmm.
And he had built it, and the room that I was going to give my son was actually his room, and that's where he pretty much stayed. And I didn't even realize that my son could see him, but he kept saying, this place gives me the creep. And the soldier was standing on the stairs. It was this beautiful spiral staircase. And he was standing there. I said, no, isn't this staircase beautiful? And he says, no, it gives me the creep. So we were actually thinking about buying the house our own. And when that didn't happen, he was like, yay. I said, well, why did you say yay? You know, why are you happy that we decided not to buy it? He said, well, actually, they took it off the market. But he said, there was a guy there, and he scared me. And I said, well, I'm sure he didn't mean to scare you. He said, I know, but he still did. So after that, it pretty much things kind of closed off for him.
Yeah. I know when I was in my late teens to early 20s, I closed off a lot. So, and then eventually it came back. So that may happen to him too.
Yeah. I can say I hope someday that, you know, if he chooses, he still is able to see, and that he kind of understands it better. And I know for many years, many, many years, anytime I did see something, I looked at it as kind of like a frightening threat. Like, why are you here? What do you want from me? Go away. You scare me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's something that happens to even adults. So,
right.
But now I've kind of accepted it. And one thing that helped me learn to accept it is the woman spirit that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
When I started getting EVPs of her, and I was also seeing and hearing her psychically, I would say, go away, get out, what do you want? And I could tell that made her sad, but at the time I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to watching an episode, two different paranormal shows, and they talked about these spirits were once living human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you treat them any different than you would treat a living human being?
Right.
And that hit home to me so hard. I'm like, oh my goodness, I would never be so mean to somebody.
Yeah.
Especially who's trying to be, you know, friendly and kind. So after that, it's been a lot different. When she does come to see me, you know, it's like, oh, hi, you know, just like she would be a friend of mine. But so that's the thing that I've learned is treat them like you would treat somebody living.
So triops doesn't provoke, correct?
What was that?
Triops doesn't use the provocation method for...
Sometimes they do, not very often, and usually they do it because we know that the spirit is either communicating with us and have in the past, or they feel like the spirit is trying to deceive us or something. Then there'd be a couple of our team members who could provoke. Not insultingly so, but I bet you can't really even do what you say you can. You know, you can't turn that flashlight on. And then it's almost like a response like, oh, yes, I can, and the flashlight will come on, you know, stuff like that. But no, we try to be understanding and just try to get the story and the history from the spirit that we're in a particular place.
Right.
I think what we're going to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be talking with Lynn about a house that she went with us to investigate. Pretty interesting. So we'll get her thoughts on all that. So I figure about 5 minutes or so. And I believe Jeff gets to take us out.
Yep. Well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with hosts Henry Foister, Kat Cloco, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's guest, Lynn Bell of Triops Paranormal. So stay tuned for more of The Paranormal View after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
Hi, I'm Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream in Gettysburg. You're listening to The Paranormal View on Para-X Radio Network.
Good news, everyone!
We're back, baby!
That's right, we're back! Hi, I'm Pat McCormick, and Ghost Soldiers Radio is back! We're teaming up with The Shock on Rock with The Shock Radio, and we are on a mission.
We're on a mission from God.
A mission to play great music and have fun.
God be praised!
Ghost Soldiers Radio starts May 16th at 10 p.m. on rockwiththeshock.com.
Hey, kid, would you like music?
Sure.
Good.
So if you like music, join us as we move on up. Saturday, May 16th at 10 p.m.
Well, we're moving on up.
So join us May 16th at 10 p.m. for Ghost Soldiers Radio, only on rockwiththeshock.com.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear,
line?
You gotta be kidding.
But it's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Kloko, and Barbara Duncan, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Ghost Hunters Case Log 451. The time? Thursday, 8 p.m. Okay, we're going to start an EVP session. Is there anyone out there? Can you repeat that? I really need you to try to project louder and slower so we can all hear.
The Black Cat Lounge.
That's right, gang. Listen in. The Black Cat Lounge every Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Para X.
And spooky, they all talk gobbledygooky. The Para-X family, the shows are paranormal, not stuffy but informal. The topics are abnormal. The Para-X family,
they're strange, deranged, unrestrained.
So grab your favorite brew, it's time to rendezvous as we give awards to the Para-X family.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View here on Para-X Radio. We want to thank you all for joining us this evening. And those of you in the East Coast and those in the Midwest, be aware of the oncoming storms and take appropriate caution and shelter so that we don't have to consult a Ouija board to talk to you next week. We want to thank our guest, Lynn Bell, for joining us this evening. Welcome back, Lynn.
Thank you.
All right. Now, I guess it's been, I don't know, a few months ago, I guess it was, back before Christmas. We went, I had a friend at work, had a house, and he kept telling me about all these things going on in the house. And finally, wanted to know if I'd come and investigate it, and I got a few people together. I got Kat, and I got you. I got my son, Tim, and Mark from Port Paranormal Ohio Research Team to go in and do a mini investigation, you might say. We wasn't there maybe 3 hours tops, something like that, 3.5. Anyway, they no longer live in that house, so we cannot go back to do it anymore. I wished we could, because the house was very active. Lots of things was going on there. What did you think about the house before we actually get started talking a whole lot about it, Lynn?
Well, it was a very, very active place. It was a place of great sadness and tragedy, and there was several very mean and nasty spirits there as well. One right away, I noticed a little girl, and she told me her name was Isabel. And later, I found out from the owners that they had also experienced her, and they called her Bella. And she had also told me that I could call her Bella. And then there was also a woman, probably in her middle 30s, early 40s, that I felt like she was almost imprisoned there. She would like to move on, but she couldn't. And when I went down into the basement, at first I didn't feel anything very unusual about it. Even though they said that was a hot spot, I'm like, I'm not really picking up too much. And then all of a sudden I saw the spirit of this man come charging down the steps, down the basement steps at me. And I quickly blocked him from me because I didn't know if he was going to try to attack me or not. But it turns out that he was one of the very sinister spirits there, who supposedly had beheaded his girlfriend. And when I went out into the backyard was almost like divided in half. The left half of it was a darker energy, a heavier feeling to me. And the right side over by a tree felt like it was a place of protection and a place where somebody could go and actually be safe from the darker energies of that house. And then I went on back to where there was a fire pit. And when I touched that fire pit, I saw blood, and I just felt as though that's where that woman had met her death. And then on back toward the back, there was another area, and it was almost like it wasn't on the property, but you could see back onto the next property. And that was a place where I could see Native American spirits. And I felt other presences too, not so much seeing them, but also felt them. But then also, the house was unusual. It had two levels, but the second level, there was no way to access it. And yet I felt like there was something very, very mean and vicious up that stayed up in that second floor because nobody could have access to it. And during the investigation, while we were in the living room area, I did start feeling that presence of that spirit come down. And I remember, I think I said to the members of the team, do you feel the change in the air here? And it kind of really got super heavy. And I started, all I could see of it was green and black. And all I could hear of it was, I remember you and I joking about it, Kat, because you heard the same thing, like a Darth Vader noise. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like you felt it sitting on your chest. I think, Kat, you got kind of nauseated and sick from it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's
yeah.
Whomever it was coming on way too strong.
Right. And so it was just a very unusual night. And also up in that upper section of the house that nobody could get to, I went and I looked into a window from the outside, and I sensed the presence of a little girl who had suffered tremendously in life, almost starved to death, and she was dirty and her not really clothed very well at all. Hardly any clothes on, and she also felt very much trapped there. So it was a very emotional night, but a very interesting investigation.
And it was a small house. It wasn't very big at all. It had two bedrooms, a living room, a small dining room, kitchen, and then a small basement. But it was pretty interesting. Now, some of the things that happened, I know to start with, myself and Mark was sitting in the living room, and it was a hallway that runs straight back through the house. And we had a grid set up pointed all the way to the back door,
right,
which we sat there watching the grid. Now, when they had told you about this little girl and what her name was, we'd been talking. I've been trying to get her to talk with me. And there was at one point, I was trying to get the girl to come close to me. And you said, well, she's standing right in front of you.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. I told her, I said, well, you can come over here and touch me or whatever, you know. And we were talking. And all of a sudden, you said that Bella said she misses her mommy.
Right.
I'm going to play this for you. So get your earphones out. Turn your sound up. And I'll turn it up pretty loud so you'll be able to actually hear it. And all right. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so turn your mics up. or your sound up and listen real close, see if you can hear this.
She's saying she misses mommy.
Now, could you hear that, Lynn?
Not too well.
Okay, I'll turn it up a little bit more here and see if you can hear it. I'll play it again for you.
She's saying she misses mommy.
Yeah, I think I did. I hear like a mommy.
That's exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as you said she misses her mommy, you hear the little girl say, mommy. I thought
yeah.
That was the most amazing thing that you could hear her saying this. And as soon as you said it, she would say, mommy.
Yeah, that's incredible. That is neat. That is super cool.
So, I know that there was a darker spirit in the house, and a lot of them didn't like this dark spirit. Well, the dark spirit wasn't up in the living room when we was talking with Bella.
No.
When you said that she was standing in front of me, I was getting out my phone camera and I was going to try and take a picture of her.
Right.
And
phone camera? I'm sorry, I've just got hung up on that turn of phrase.
All right.
Yeah, that's a new one.
It's like you've just been introduced to your cell phone's camera. Help me take out this year phone camera and a thingamajig. Sorry.
The spirits are wandering around right now.
Right.
Oh.
Okay, continue.
All right. Anyway, when you said she was in front of me and I was trying to take her picture, Mark said something, and I'm going to play that, what he captured, and see if you can hear this.
Could Henry take your picture, please?
Could you hear that? I can turn it up a little louder, and we'll play it one more time.
Could Henry take your picture, please?
Were you able to hear that, Lynn? Uh-oh. Who did we lose?
We lost her.
Again?
Yes.
All right, then. Give me a minute so I can get her back.
Oh, man.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
So, Kat, did you see in the backyard this division, and what did you think of that?
It was interesting. Both of us sensed, and I will say, we went independently when we visited the house. She would be in one area, I'd be in the other, and both of us picked up on this tree, and that tree being a safe area. And I will say, when I went to the backyard, the next door house has a very eerie feeling to it. I didn't get so much of a division, but I did see the residual of two different time events happening layered on top of each other with us on top. It was very, very interesting. So we looked out into this field, and I could see to the left of me a group of Native Americans, like they were hunting. And then to the right of me, a group of Union soldiers moving through from Fort Denison. And I was just, they were completely oblivious to one another. They didn't know, they were on opposite, different timelines, different time streams, but I was seeing them at the same time. And then in the middle, there was one very confused, I think it was a fox that was on our timeline.
I remember that.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I was just commenting about the odd things that happened in that backyard.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. That was a really strange backyard.
It was.
It was like divided in half.
Yeah.
Good on the left, or good on the right, and bad on the left. It was.
Yeah. Yeah, because as you went, I think the left was towards the east side, actually. and you felt a really heavy presence on that side. And I hadn't felt anything like it since being in Sadamsel Rectory, which that wasn't the most positive experience one could ever have. But yeah, I could definitely tell, and I kept commenting on it, because I don't run into them very often, the feeling of green men or tree spirits.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
There were two of them, and there was the one in the backyard, and then there was one in somebody else's front yard. And I just,
yes,
you remember that. I don't usually pick up on them, but.
Right. The one in the backyard, of course, I didn't really get to go over to the neighbor's yard. Like I, you know, hi, can I see your tree?
Yeah.
I don't think that would have went really well, but.
Yeah. Don't mind me wandering through your yard in the nighttime. Yeah,
but the one on the right side of the homeowner's yard was definitely a peaceful, nurturing presence there. Like I say, I felt like it was a place of safety among some of the other negativity that was around.
Yeah.
So, Lynn, did you get to hear me play that second EVP?
No, it was going on when my phone decided that it would die.
Oh, no.
I need to investigate my phone.
All right.
Oh, no.
Because it just died.
I will say this is actually kind of normal for us when we have psychic mediums on. We have a lot of technology problems.
Yeah.
I have some, I don't know, I don't sense that anything paranormal is messing with my phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened to me in the past, though, where a spirit has tried to keep me from calling somebody, afraid that I was going to get them into trouble, and it's like, no, this isn't about you. I want to call, you know, just make a phone call.
Right.
All right. Put your headphones on, turn your sound up, and listen, and see if you can hear this one this time.
Could Henry take your picture, please?
Now, you're on a phone, so it could be a little hard for you to hear, but could you hear something being said there?
I heard the little girl. I heard little Bella. It sounded like she said, uh-huh. But I couldn't get it that well.
We think what she was saying is, I'll be smiling, after he said, can Henry take your picture? And it sounds like she's saying, I'll be smiling. That's just what we think it is.
I hear hiding. But, yeah.
Can I hear it again one more time?
Sure.
Could Henry take your picture, please?
Yeah, I do kind of hear a smile now. Yeah. Neat.
So, this little girl was interacting with us up to a certain point.
Right.
And everyone was talking, and all of a sudden, you guys started saying, "Oh, there's a difference in the way the air was, or atmosphere was feeling, or something."
Right.
And you were saying that this entity, the one that wasn't good, I guess, had come into the room. Of course, I didn't feel it. I mean, everything was still the same to me, but when you were saying that, somebody else was saying something about Bella, and you said that she's not in here anymore because of this other spirit that come in.
Right. I remember that.
I had two recorders going. I had one that was sitting right next to me in the living room, and I had one in the bedroom. Now, this one here is from the recorder that was sitting right next to me. And turn your mics up, or sound up, rather, so you can hear this.
Oh, she's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, Bella's still moving.
Bella's back there now. I don't think she's going to want to get into this area.
Now, it's right after we start talking, you'll hear Bella say something. So I'll play it again and listen to see if you can pick it up.
Oh, she's
okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, Bella's still moving.
Bella's back there now. I don't think she's going to want to get into this area.
Nick, could you hear what she was saying?
I didn't hear. I could hear her, but I couldn't make out what she was saying.
Okay. I'm going to take and play it from the recorder from the bedroom and see if you can hear it off of that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Could you hear it that time?
Let me hear it one more time. Yeah. I heard. Wow.
She was, it's hard to hear, but you can hear, she says, hiding. I'm hiding. Which is what you were saying, that she was in the back. She didn't want to be up with this other entity. And she said, I'm hiding.
Yeah. I heard it a lot plain, but I couldn't make out exactly what she was saying. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. She was saying was, I'm hiding.
Wow. That's cool.
Now, there was, I've got a couple of them that wasn't real clear, but you could hear something being said. I'll play those in a minute here. Before I do that, Tim was in the master bedroom, and he was in there by himself, over on the other side of the bed from where I had the microphone. And I thought this one was pretty interesting because whatever it was right beside the microphone when it happened. And he was on the other side of the bed. So I'll play that and everybody will be able to hear this because this was loud and clear.
We're not going to leave until we hear something.
Wow.
He said it sounded like a coin falling, but there wasn't.
I have to say, I think that a paranormal investigation is not where you should start playing Connect Four. Oh, wait.
Now, we have no idea what in the world that was, because he looked around, couldn't find anything out of place. And the way it happened was right next to the microphone there. And I don't remember, but was there a carpet in the master bedroom or was it floor?
I think it was floor.
Okay. Because you could hear this thing. It fell and fell right on the floor. You hear it bounce and stop. So
yeah, it sounds like you say, like a coin or like marbles maybe, or that's clear.
Yeah. So, there was a lot that was going on in the house. Now, Timmy was in the master bedroom with Mark, and Mark was sitting on the bed, and Tim was on the other side of the bed, sitting on the floor next to the wall. And I'll turn this up so you can see if you can hear it, because it's kind of faint, but if you listen real close, you should be able to hear it.
That's not me making that noise. That's the wall here.
That's not you?
No.
Now, if you listen real close, you can hear this tapping on the wall.
Yeah.
And I mean, Timmy wasn't doing it. He even started laughing and telling Mark, said, that's not me doing that.
Yeah, I did. I heard that.
There is a lot of stuff that went on there. Now, there was a couple odd sounds that I picked up. And one of them, and let's see, this is one here. Let's see what this one is. Could you hear that? It was just like something.
Yeah. Whoosh. I heard that.
We have no idea what that was.
It's almost like somebody trying to whistle, like, you know, or call for somebody with a whistle.
Yeah, I'll play it one more time for everybody so you can listen to it.
Yeah.
No idea what.
Maybe a cartoon was going by.
I have no idea. there was a lot of sounds like that though that we picked up throughout the time we was there.
Actually, Henry, from my ears, it almost sounds like quick swish of fabric, almost like a silk, or maybe not as thick as vinyl, but definitely something that would make that kind of a sweep sound, like linen or something like that. Almost like maybe a dress.
I don't think anybody.
Could it be like a pair of men's pants, like a nicer pants brushing together? Because one of the nastier spirits, the way I saw him dressed, he was like in a dark navy blue sailor coat with a white shirt, and then he had on,
yes!
I couldn't tell if they were corduroy.
Yeah,
you saw
him?
Yes!
Could have been sort of like a,
that's what he
like
was!
A muslin.
I didn't see, he showed up in black to me, but yes, exactly like that. And corduroy,
yeah,
was what I was thinking when you guys brought up the fabric. I'm like, dude, that sounds like corduroy. Because that will create enough of a sound. Because I really doubt somebody's walking around in a taffeta dress. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because corduroy is very famous for that zoop, zoop, zoop sound.
Yep. Zoop, 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 zoop.
Yeah.
To the point where people are told not to wear it on paranormal investigations. And I once accidentally made that mistake. So everyone
really?
Heard zoop, 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 zoop. Yeah, it was when I started back in like 2007. But, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, he was nasty. He was the guy who charged me in the basement. In fact, when we first got there, Bella's like, "You're gonna be sorry. You're making him angry."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Who am I making angry?" And then when he came charging down the steps, like, "Oh, now I know who she means." Yeah, he was really nicely dressed. Too bad he had to be
like
such
it when he's angry.
Yeah.
No.
No. See, I had the guy in the cowboy hat with me the entire time. So the angry guy just didn't bother me at all. But, and then I also had the grandma in that house who liked to move the objects in the kitchen. She hung around me. So,
right.
But I guess since you were really communicating really well with Bella, you managed to tick him off.
Yeah. No.
That's why I charged you, maybe.
Now, that's a funny thing, because when we first got there, Lynn and I and Robert went down to the basement. And
mm-hmm.
Robert's the one who was the homeowner or lived in the house. And we were down there talking, and I had my back to the stairs coming down into the basement. And I'm facing Lynn and Robert, and all of a sudden, Lynn goes, "Stop! You can't come any closer." And I'm turning around looking. I don't see anything. What are you talking about? I don't see a thing. and that gets me when people.
You're going to step right in his spot.
which was funny, though. That was really funny.
Well, to you, it was funny.
Yeah, it was. you posted here in Skype that there was a question from the chat room. Did you want to get that in first?
I'm going to assume that you're talking to me since I'm the one who did it.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking to.
You may want to use our
names?
Proper names, okay, when addressing us. Anyway, yeah, it's from Tabby. And she asks you, Lynn, if you've ever had someone follow you home.
Yes, I have. Thank goodness it wasn't a nasty one. Just a curious spirit. It was a human spirit. But it was actually one of the Ryan's Tavern spirits. And she just felt like, you know, I was somebody who could see her. She had enjoyed our conversations that we had that evening, and she just kind of went, stopped by and said, "Hi, how are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, hi," you know. And so, yeah, it was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to tell the spirit after I leave an investigation, not that they always listen, but right. you have to stay here. It's not okay to follow me home or follow anybody else from our team home. You have to stay, you know, because there's a couple of times I've been on investigations, and mm-hmm. especially one time, this one spirit was had taken with one of the men on our team, and he was like, oh, this is a buddy, you know, this is a friend, and he was going to follow him home. And I said, he's going to follow you home, and if you're not okay with that, you need to tell him. And so we both told him, no, you have to stay here, you know, don't follow us home. But thankfully, knock on wood, nothing dark has ever followed me home, and I hope it stays that way.
But we should really hang out, and you know, should...
Oh, thank you.
I've got two more, and one of them, it says it's a whisper. So I'll turn it up pretty loud for you to be able to listen. Turn up, okay. Put your headphones on and listen, and see if we can hear this one. Okay. It's right toward the end. You hear a voice say something.
You
can't tell what it is, but you can actually hear, and it sounds more like a male type voice. So it could be that dark entity or something like that. I don't know how many other male figures were in the house, but I'll play it again for you. So try and listen again.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what it's saying, cane or can't or something like that.
It almost sounds like pain to me.
Yeah, it could.
Almost like Gene to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could hear something being said. Mm-hmm. I've got one more where it says something was said, and I'll play that one here, and then we can talk about some more. So listen real close to this one.
Are you the one that holds the other spirits here?
Yeah.
Now, you hear something in the background. You can't make out what it is. But then we hear you say, or somebody, and I don't know who it was, said, yeah. Like this thing answered the question that Robert asked. So I'll play it for you again, see if you can pick anything up. It's real soft in the background.
Okay.
Are you the one that holds the other spirits here?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a high pitched yeah or something like that.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah.
Wait, play it again.
All right, I'm going to play it one more time here.
Are you the one that holds the other spirits here?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the yeah right before, like, a snap?
I don't know. Was there a snap?
Yeah, at the very end of that clip you hear.
There's, like, a little bit of a vocalization just before the yeah. I think the yeah must be one of the other investigators.
Yeah, that's me.
I think that's
yeah. But you also hear them say yeah or said whatever. It was either it's either Lynn or Kat that was saying that. So
I said yeah, and then you hear the two snaps because that's my pen.
Right. Well, it's not the snaps. Listen.
Well, I know it's not the snaps, but it says yeah, and then you hear me click my pen, and I'm asking, is that what you're asking?
It's before the. It's just before the yeah. It's just before the yeah.
All right. Listen close again, then.
Are you the one that holds the other spirits here?
Yeah.
See, it was long before you did the things. You said the yeah before you clicked the pin.
Right.
Right.
It's right before the yeah.
Yeah, I can hear that. Okay. But I was just making sure that that's what you were trying to point out.
Right. So, yeah, I couldn't tell whether it was male, female, or what it was. Nihilus seems to think it was a little girl's voice saying something. So, but anyway, the house was very, very active. Some of the things that the people said would the cabinet doors would be open when I would wake up in the morning. She had all her kitchen towels and stuff like that in drawers in the, I guess they had a cabinet in the bathroom. And she said they'd wake up and the towels wouldn't be there. They'd all be stacked up in the kitchen somewhere. And just all sorts of different things. And they'd see shadows and hear footsteps and get cold spots. The house, like you guys were saying, seemed like it had some dark entities in it, along with some others who were kind of like trapped, like the little girl. And I don't know if there was another one or two people in there or not. So
I also picked up, not just on that property, but I know the house next door was supposedly not lived in either. But in the whole kind of general vicinity, there seemed to be a feeling of like children. I didn't really necessarily see them, but I always felt that there was a lot of children around. And I don't know if at one time a school used to set on those properties or if the children were somehow trapped there, but not so much as did I see them, but did I feel the energy of a lot of children. Of course, Bella, I saw very plainly, and that little blonde girl in the second floor, I saw her. But besides that, I also felt the presence of a lot of other children.
Now, I know that there's a big old red house that's set right next door that was empty. I guess they were trying to refurbish it or something like that. I wouldn't have wanted to stay in that one. I mean, that one even looked spooky. But
I was drawn to it.
Yeah, I guess Robert had told me that the woman that lived across the street, across the road, said that the men that would be in there refurbishing it, they said they came running out of it one day and wouldn't never set a foot back in it. So apparently there's stuff in that house also.
Yeah, I was definitely feeling something from it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing was emitting energy a good 20, 30 feet around itself. And its property was super spooky, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a very good area. I thought it was a very good investigation. We got quite a bit of stuff out of it, not just from the EVPs, but also from what you guys were picking up as being mediums. I thought that was pretty interesting because a lot of that collaborated what we got with the EVPs.
Henry, did you also tell me one time that you had an EVP of Bella? Somebody had asked how old she was, and I communicated verbally that she was 7, and you said that there was also an EVP of a little girl saying 7?
Yeah, we played that. It's real quick in with some other talking, so it's hard to pick out. I mean, I can't really... I mean, I could play it, but you'd never hear it on over the air.
Okay.
But you can hear in that other talking real quick, like a 7, real fast, like.
Yeah.
Which we did hear that, so that was interesting.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. We had quite a bit of stuff, and I really enjoyed doing that investigation. We're working on some others, I think. Mark has something that we're supposed to be going to do here before long. I haven't heard anything on it. And thought I'd let you also know, they have you heard of the Post-Town School?
Yes.
Have you been there?
Never have been there.
Okay. They have the Mid-Ohio thing at Post-Town this year, sponsored by Louisville Ghost Hunters.
Oh, okay.
And I believe that, what was the date in that? Was that June?
It's July. Oh, man. I think it's the
17th, 18th, and 19th, I believe is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, 17th through the 19th at Post-Town Elementary School.
Yeah. We'll have a table there and getting all kinds of people, hopefully, as guests to be able to be on the show.
Yeah.
And I look at it like this, with Kat going over to New England, that she is also going to be able to get us a whole lot of new guests from over there. So,
oh, interesting. Oh, I see. I see why I'm on this show now.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. Hmm.
That and your fluency in Japanese, apparently.
Yes, that super handy language for an American broadcast.
Anything else you guys got that you want to ask Lynn? I mean, we still got a few minutes. Anybody from the chat room got a question? Now's the time to put it in. I want to take time to actually thank Lynn for taking time to be on the show. We really appreciate it. Great guest. Now, you say you do tarot readings?
So, the what?
You do tarot readings?
I can read oracle cards. I'm relatively new to it, but I've had success with it, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Maybe we'll get you on sometime if you want to do some readings.
Okay. I would enjoy that.
Do you do readings like that, or do you do them like as a medium? Can you pick up on people that way?
Sometimes it's both. I haven't really done that many card readings for people. Just at a couple of the ghost tours last year, I was able to do a few. But it's something that I would like to work on and get better at. And I've had pretty good success with it so far. Sometime in the future, I would be very happy to.
All right. Sounds great. When we get something else lined up, I'll let you know, and we'll get you to come out with us on another investigation.
I would love that.
Now, let's see if I have something else here.
Well, I will mention this odd thing and also kind of address it to our listening audience, too. Recently this year, I have started finding dimes randomly put around our house in areas where I know I've already cleaned and there shouldn't be anything laying on the floor.
You mean inside the house?
Inside the house. Though I do encounter them outside too.
And it's dimes, not pennies.
Dimes. No other currency, just dimes.
Are they heads up or tails up?
They're a mix.
Probably both.
Yeah.
No, just, no wheat dimes. They're all the current ones. Or...
Yeah, they're all current. Hmm. I just look at them. I'm like, huh, another dime. I wonder why I'm seeing this. Then I mosey on over and I'm like, I wonder if there's something somebody is trying to tell me. And I'm just being a complete goof about it. Going, oh, look, a dime.
What president is on the dime?
Kennedy.
On a dime?
On Kennedy?
Yeah.
It must be new dime.
Should be. Well, wait, isn't it Kennedy?
I do.
His face is rather fat. It's Franklin Roosevelt.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it used to be like Hermes or something, wasn't it? With the original dime before it was fat.
Well, I'm not
guy.
Finding them. Yeah, you caught my comment. I'm like, that was a Kennedy's profile. It's too fat. as only an artist would say. Yeah, that or jowl line. Yeah.
They wanted to know in chat room, do you own a payphone?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, Kennedy's on the half dollar there, Henry.
Right. Oh, okay. Or, yeah.
Whomever.
But it used to be, it was like Hermes or one of the messenger gods on the old wheat dime before it was Roosevelt.
Right.
And it's very rare to find them. I actually have a few that I've got safely in my storage unit. Whenever I find them, I'm like, oh, that is going out of circulation and being kept.
I thought it was Mercury because they called them Mercury dimes.
Then, Mercury. I couldn't remember if it was Mercury or Hermes. It's the same character. It's just different cultures with different names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is Greek?
Mercury
is Roman.
Was also the messenger god. Yeah.
Winged Liberty Heads. Mercury, 1916 to 1945.
Well, Lynn, we want you to stay on until after we're off the air, and we'll talk with you for a few minutes, because I know you've been on for 2 hours, and we've just... kept you and made you talk and talk and talk, so I'm sure that you're getting tired.
No, I've enjoyed it. I really have. It's been a great show, and I thank you so much for having me on it.
Well, just have you got a website or just Facebook, or if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, how would they do that?
I don't have a website because pretty much everything I do is through TriOps.
But they have a new website, and it's kind of weird. It's kind of limited right now. Their original site has been suspended.
Yeah, we're updating the website, and we actually went back to our old TriOpsParanormal.com name. And so that's just recently happened, and we're building that. It's going to be a really good site. It's going to show pictures of all of our team members. It's going to show some of the evidence that we found. I think there's even going to be a spot for bloopers, funny pictures of the investigators or funny videos just of, you know, silly things that have happened during some of our investigations, because we have a lot of fun. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with it.
All right.
Well, on the webpage, I will.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've also, having found them on Facebook and Twitter, that'll be on my report page, both the links for those for TriOps.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you are on Facebook. Just look up Lynn Bell. Okay.
Yep. Lynn Bell.
I looked up Lynn Bell, and I looked up Lynn Bell, and I came across a retired baseball player from the 20s or something.
That's actually me.
Wow.
All right. Well, next week, I want to let everybody know, next week we have a couple of people that's going to be on that most people that deals with Para-X know who they are.
Pat and Doug, no! Oh, wait.
No, it's not Pat and Doug. We have...
Again!
We have Dan and Andrea from Spirited History. It will be on with us.
Who from Spirited History?
Spirited History.
Well, you said that. I just said who from Spirited History because we're stepping on your lines.
Oh. Leanne Angela.
Okay. And I will be not on the show. Second.
You won't be on next
week? I will not be on. I'll be at Anime Central in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Ooh.
This is a yearly thing.
Okay.
So
fine.
Yeah.
Well,
since our time is running right on down, why don't you go ahead, Jeff, and start giving out all our stuff?
Well, you can go to my website, which is jeffgould.net, GEOFFGOULD.net. And if you add /2011PNV.htm, that's my Paranormal View hub page. You can look at previous show reports or listen to the embedded podcast right on the hub page or go to the report page. And now, as we're on YouTube, I'm going to be sticking those embeds under the automatic embeds. It's going to really get a big fat page soon. And you can follow the Paranormal View on Facebook. Just look us up. We're the community, not magazine. Please like us. Please like our page. And I'm also on Facebook. Kat's on Facebook. Henry's on Facebook. And Barbara pretends she's not online. And the official website of the show is theparanormalview.com. On Twitter, you can feel free to follow me at Real Badger, RealBadger. Please follow me. I love new followers, and I try and be really silly all week.
All right.
There you go.
Kat?
Okay, everyone, you can follow The Paranormal View at ParaView Radio on Twitter. You can also find all of our archives in iTunes. Just look for us in the podcast area. Also, my Twitter is at Kat Klokow, KatKlokow. And you can also find my website at katklokow.com. So same spelling, just .com. And follow my graphic novel, Jinxed. You can find it at jinxedcomic.com. And follow us on Twitter at jinxedcomic.
Okay. With that, we're just about out of time. So come back again next week. I want to thank everybody for being here to listen. And I want to thank Lynn again. So we will see you guys next week at the same time. So this is Henry Foister,
Jeffrey Gould,
Barbara Duncan,
and Kat Klokow.
And we will see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Come back and visit us again if you dare. You've been listening to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.